Well, it's good to celebrate the goodness of God to us, especially toward moms and pictures of moms in their ministry to us when Jesus helps us. Just a couple in the series here of messages on Jesus being the truth for everybody. Boy, if you're hungry for the truth, look to Christ. He'll tell you about himself. And then Jesus is our goodness. Without him, we're very in need of righteousness. And so today, Jesus is our healer for the broken. And last summer, I bought a new chair for the pastor study in my office. Didn't like the chair I had. Normally, I'm not that fussy, but the chair I had, I thought the seat was too soft. And if you sit in a soft seat, your back hurts sometimes. And it was a little bit too high, so I banged my knee on the desk, you know, when I got close to the desk. I know that those who work in steel mills and in the construction industry don't have such occupational hazards as worrying about where they're going to sit, if it's going to hurt their back or their knee. But anyway, I was feeling bad about myself. I got a new chair, and thank the Lord it worked good, but it broke last 2 weeks. So I'm back in the old painful routine until somebody fixed it for me. Thank the Lord for that. But we live in a world where things get broken. And if you can tell about your life this past year, all the things that were broken in your life. Garage doors get stuck. Cars break down when you're out in the highway. You'll get help within an hour. Copiers jam up. Computers, for those who get into that, or freeze. You know, is there anything in all of creation that doesn't break? And if you could invent something that doesn't break and doesn't break down, boy, it'd be terrific. Someone would say that's maybe better, as good as what God himself could do. And some of us don't want a heart that breaks, so we get a heart of stone. We'll put up with life, whatever comes. Got the heart of stone. Not going to break. It was in the Old Testament that God said, you might have a heart of stone, but I want to give you a heart of flesh that I could work with. And so it better have a heart of flesh that breaks than a heart of stone that says nothing broken on the inside. Hearts, homes, health, all get broken. And the Bible teaches us a sobering truth. Got the words from a song on the radio. People are not all right. They are broken inside. And even people in the Bible who knew God, had great experiences with God, continued on with the sense sometimes of disability in their life or brokenness. Jacob was a great Bible character in the Old Testament. He was later named Israel, a whole nation named after him, Bible prophecy. Sometimes the church is called the New Israel and all those good things. Jacob limped throughout his whole life. And from what God would meet him at and where he was, he continued in that sense of need. So you may be limping physically or spiritually. Today, God's still working in your life. Paul, the great apostle, couldn't see very well. And even in his spiritual life, he says, sometimes I do things I don't understand. That really bothered him. Paul knew about Genesis and the Old Testament. Oh, the fall. Adam fell. Eve fell. Everybody falls down. Paul just didn't give a quick Bible answer for his spiritual disability. He said, I don't understand what I do. He wanted to meet God in whatever sense of limitation or lack that he had. When Jesus was born, his mother Mary, on a great occasion, was told, a sword would pierce your soul. And everybody's soul is broken. And we need Christ to come and do something for us. Love gets broken. If you're a spiritual mother to others, your heart gets broken when you see maybe unhealth in the children. If you're a mom, your heart, no doubt, because you love, gets broken. And until we get to heaven, through Jesus, we're going to be mortal. Which means all of us will have some brokenness in our lives on a continual basis. But if you're broken, what do you do to get back on your feet? That's the thing that we deal with as people. What do you do to keep going? If you're a secular person, you say, well, I'll keep going based on my own willpower and tenacity. I will tough it out. And if things get tough, I will get tougher. My willpower will get me through this. The Bible says the testimony of a person trusting in themselves is this: by the strength of my own hand will I prevail. That's fed to us a lot around us. We have that fighting survival instinct that if we're not careful, can just cave in on ourselves. If you're a believer in Christ, you might have a different perspective. You might say, when things get tough and I need healing, the strength of my faith, that's what'll do it. The strength of my faith will get me through. But if you just say that, you might be trusting just in your own mind. Just like the secular guy, trusting his own willpower. And you put just a little bit of Christ in there for help, you say. But he would be bigger for us than just a little bit of help. Man who founded the Christian Missionary Alliance, A.B. Simpson, talked about having our bodies healed and even our relationship with Christ healed. He was healed personally from a very bad heart illness. He wrote this: God's healing is not a faith cure. You might expect your faith to heal you like somebody with an empty cup would hold it out and automatically expect water to be in it. But God has to invent the water, and God has to make it rain. And so he went on to say, the less you dwell on your prayers and your faith, the more likely you'll meet God in a sense of desperation. So we meet Christ as a healer. It's not the strength of our faith that's going to get us through. A small mustard seed will do. But it's the strength of the one we're trusting in. It's going to be the key for us. And when we experience brokenness in our lives, it is a chance to meet Christ in those moments in a way, well, we perhaps didn't even know he was there at our point of greatest need. When I was 10 years old, I got a bicycle. I was a little late getting my bicycle. But I got the training wheels off eventually and took a, as fast as I can, ride down the street in front of our house. And that wasn't too smart. Trying to make a turn, going real fast, I fell down on the bike, big time pain, my feet caught in the spokes, arm in the bar handles, and the handlebars hit me in the stomach, and I lost my wind for a while. You know, when that happens, it seems like minutes, only was for seconds. And I remember laying there in pain thinking, I'm really hurting, and I can't find how to get out of this mess. The first person who was there to pick me up was Mom. Thinking, Mom, how did you get here? And she untangled me, dusted me off, back to the house for the painful methylate. Some of you have never experienced that. That's good. But those things. And it wasn't every time you got hurt, every time you had a pain in your life, wasn't Mom somehow. She was there eventually. She showed up. How did you get here, Mom? I remember I had a black eye, and my mom said, where'd the black eye come from? I said, oh, the baseball hit me. She said, did you fight with your brother? No matter what pain I had, Mom would find out the real reason for the pain. Couldn't hide anything from her. And when we get broken, first one who really is there for us, Jesus. How did you get here, Jesus? I didn't even know I needed help, maybe. I didn't even know I was hurting. Oh, you're here to help me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for picking me up. Pray that our brokenness, however God says, this area in your life, that's broken. Pray that it's a chance to meet Jesus. Even if we just have to limp on, he'll hold us up. Pray like Jeremiah, Lord, heal me, I'll be healed. Save me and I'll be saved. You are the one I praise. I don't know how God helps people, even spiritually or physically. I know he does care. I know he does intervene. When it comes to physically, the Lord helping us, I know God can help us in our bodies. He cares about what he created. Someday he'll give us a new body. That's a great promise. But it's a sense of mystery and a sense of his surprising intervention that gets us going. physically. I've known people who are real godly people who get sick, and many, many people pray for them, and then they don't get better. And I wonder, God, I know you're a healer. What plan do you have for them? And I know people who are really don't give a hoot about anybody else or about God, and they get sick. Nobody prays, and they get well. I'm thinking, Lord, as a healer, you have to know what you're doing, because I don't always, and I don't have to understand. But I am in awe of God and His initiative in the limitations of our lives. A Pentecostal preacher and a Baptist preacher once were talking about God's healing, how He works in bodies and also souls. And a Pentecostal preacher had a lot of faith in God. He thought people should get healed every day, no problem. And a Baptist preacher scratched his head and said, well, maybe once in a great while to bring people to God, that kind of thing. And the Pentecostal said, come on, you should be involved in the ministry of healing. And the Baptist man said, you know, I've really tried, but often nothing seems to happen. And the Pentecostal preacher looked at him and said, well, you preach and nothing happens. That doesn't stop you. Pray and ask. And God is there to help. And when we see people in ministries of healing physically, sometimes we get suspicious if they're on television, and maybe it's more theatrical in some cases than heart to heart. But only God would be the judge of that. Someone said, Anthony Campolo, who's a Baptist minister, who's very light on the, not a lot of hair left at that age, has the blessing of no haircuts needed. He said, always be suspicious of healers who are bald. Because if they had the gift of healing, they would go for it. But Jesus is a healer to our hearts that we might know God, to our bodies, because He cares for us. And what healing would He like to do in your life today? More important healing or help than a broken chair, a broken heart, key relationships that you can't see how they would fit. God, your Creator, knows. With Him in the puzzle, they can fit together. With Him there, they can. And once a man who was a preacher went to preach some special meetings at a church far away out on the West Coast. And wonderful things happened. And somebody came forward and said, I need help. I have very bad heart disease. Would somebody pray? And the pastor prayed and anointed with oil. And then the services were over. The pastor went back east where he lived. And he got a phone call 3 months later from the wife of the man who came forward. And she said, I wanted to thank you for praying for my husband when you were out at our church, because he had heart disease. And the pastor said, he had heart disease? Is he better? Is he better now? And the wife said, oh, no, he died. And the man felt very bad and said, oh, I'm so sorry. And the wife of the man said, but you don't understand. Don't be sorry, because my husband, he came to church that day, a broken man physically and spiritually. And he was very angry at God, very, very angry at God, because he wanted to live to see his grandchildren grow up and all those things. And he wasn't sure that was going to happen. And the more angry he became at God, the more angry he became at people. It's a good check on on your heart if you live with anger. The more angry he was at God, the more angry he was at people around him. But then the wife said, when he left that church and put a very childlike faith in Christ, the best as he knew how, Jesus, to help him, he walked away with a Savior. He walked away with a peace in his heart he didn't have before. The last 3 months of our lives, she said, were some of the, in terms of how we were doing, some of the best months of our lives, because we could lean on God together. We could pray together and ask God for help with whatever we were going through. And she made this comment, "My husband wasn't cured, but he was healed." He was healed in terms of who he was. And as many are cured, we thank God for physical help and healing. I always pray for that with somebody, because that's how I would want to pray for my loved ones. And remember, though, everybody in the New Testament who was cured physically eventually died. Even Lazarus, who was dead 4 days, rose from the dead. One man said, "What did he get? 10 more years of taxes and death again." The Lord did a great work. But to be healed in our soul, God's healing for our bodies is for time. How do we do ask for that? God's healing in our soul. Right down where we live, in the pit of our gut, in the depths of who we are. God's healing for our soul can be a start today, and that's a gift for eternity. Gift for eternity. And ask the Lord in your heart, "Lord, what in my life is broken? And would you come in the depths of who I am, be the part of the puzzle that I can't see and I don't even have to understand. But I'll put my trust in you. You can heal any brokenness, not just for a moment in time, but for eternity." And in a time of prayer, could you give your brokenness to God? Meet Him as a healer in your life. Could you just quietly pray with me before we sing? Jesus, part of your mission was to heal the brokenhearted. We might not be brokenhearted or want to admit that, but there is something in our life that is not all right. And like you provided moms to give an aid, give a care. You're there all the time. I pray, Lord, each of us would simply have the scripture fulfilled in our hearing that Jesus would heal the broken heart, set captives free, maybe from self and sin. Pray a simple prayer. Lord, heal us and we'll be healed. Save us and we will be saved. For you are the one we praise. I pray, Lord, that many here in their hearts would just say, "Jesus is my healer. And not only that, but He's my Savior too." And today would be a day to follow Him, now and throughout all eternity. Might your good Spirit work that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's a good testimony song, the last song we'll sing. We can be satisfied in Christ and have contentment in Him. Let's stand together and praise God.